Welcome to the Business Abundance Podcast, providing the tools and knowledge to help small business owners succeed. For additional resources, visit www.businessabundance.online.
Hello and welcome to the Business Abundance Podcast.
Hello.
I'm Z, and today I'm here with Rowan.
Hi.
We're missing Ian today, but I'm sure he'll be back in future podcasts. Today, we're going to be chatting about people-pleasing, specifically in the business workplace. And there's a few reasons why this is important, mostly because of the impact people-pleasing can have on your relationships, whether that be personal or in business, your productivity in business. Basically, it can impact anything. I mean, if you want to maintain good relationships or you want to ensure that everything's really happy and you don't like conflict, people pleasing could be quite a bad thing. If you want to make sure that your if you're a small business owner that just wants to help people, it's likely that you're doing yourself a disservice by whether that be in a financial aspect, by dealing with people who can't pay you on time and so you just cover the cost for them.
Taking on the world's problems.
Yeah, whether you've become a counsellor for your employees because they can't deal with conflict resolution. You're doing more work than you meant to because your employees won't pick up the slack. There's so many reasons why it's not helpful for you.
Yeah, it's not something you think about ever.
No.
No one goes, do you think about if you're a people pleaser or not?
Yeah, you just kind of do the stuff. So, I mean, if we can define it, it's just basically meeting the expectations of other people at the expense of your own needs. So,
sounds way worse than, oh, a people pleaser. That sounds nice.
Yeah. Just self-sabotage.
Yeah.
But, yeah, your self-worth is based on making other people happy. So, that's kind of where that stems from, and it's not good for your business because in the end you're going to lead to burnout or financial stress or brewing conflict among your employees. There's so many reasons that I could think of, and we could go for days. But basically want to talk about identifying those issues, figuring out what to do if you are in that position, and yeah, like where you can be if you do fix those.
Nice.
It's not necessarily a bad thing to say no is kind of the moral of this.
It could be good for everyone.
It could be, yes. It's good to take accountability and set boundaries.
Mm.
I mean, I think that's just kind of like the end. We can finish up there. Very good. No.
Your people please stop it.
You just say
it's
no.
It's not that simple.
No. Now, I think we start off with the consequences. I think just because they seem to be straightforward.
I've got one.
Okay, let's go.
Clients unhappy after you've done heaps and heaps and heaps of things for them. You've done a great job and you've gone out of the way to make it happen. And then they're still upset at the end and then you hate the world.
Yeah.
Consequence.
Consequence. That is. And partly you're to blame for that.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have been in that position. So, yes. So, that's resentment, your relationships becoming unbalanced and unsatisfying.
Yeah.
You just feel like you're carrying the load where they're not doing much.
Yeah.
It's like when you're in school and you do those group projects and they all make you do the most of the essay writing and you're just sitting there and everyone takes an A and you're just like, aw.
That's really interesting. I've never thought about work like school projects, but that's pretty much what sum up a lot of places where one person's carrying everyone and everyone gets an A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Painful.
People pleasing. No fun.
No, don't do it.
Unless you're one of the other people, I guess.
Well, that's not people pleasing.
You're not going to achieve anything on your own.
It is an interesting point though, and I think I am jumping ahead. But while we're on
a discussion.
Yeah. But if you're a people pleaser, you see that the group's not carrying their load and the deadline is 2 days away and you've realized that if you don't do it, no one else will.
Mm.
How do you not be a people pleaser in that situation?
at that point, you're probably limited.
Mm.
It would have to be changing it well before that point,
mm.
knowing that you're probably going to put yourself in that situation because you're sort of like, oh, yeah, it'll be fine. We'll do this. And then suddenly it's not fine.
Yeah.
And everyone knew except you. And they're like,
they were just calling you.
Z will sort it.
Yeah. Z won't sort it, but she will.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about consequences, an example.
Hmm.
Some other consequences. You have people in your business that, you know, often take leave because of whatever.
Stress.
And you keep, yeah, no, it's fine, it's fine. You be supportive, and then you're frustrated because nothing gets done or they're not available or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or I suppose like a client too, if they leave, I've put them through their apprenticeship, blah, blah, blah. We did this for them, we did this for them, and then they left. And I've heard that from so many clients, and that it's so frustrating. But I think it comes from that people pleasing. They're trying to make everyone happy.
Yeah, it really ends up in resentment. And the theme here is resentment.
Yeah.
You just end up not liking the
situation. Self-loathing
yeah.
and resentment.
There's also loss of identity because you're just kind of caught up in the,
oh, yeah?
in the fact that you're doing all this work and you don't know if you're doing it for yourself or for someone else.
Yeah.
That's a shocker, that one.
I guess like your success or your failures are based on what other people's decisions ultimately are, not your own.
Yep. Yeah, so you just then become a workhorse, not really thinking for yourself. So, yeah, that's a big one. That's
yeah.
a deep-rooted one. That's not a good one.
What else have we got?
I've already talked about burnout, but, I mean, touching on that just a little bit more, if you just keep going and going and picking up the slack for each other, for other people and for your employees, for example, and you're pulling the really late nights because work just needs to be done, which I'm
or
sure
or you're just doing all the work all the time. You don't have to be doing late nights, but if you're just doing the day and
yeah.
everyone else is coasting.
I mean, why are you even employing people in that situation?
True.
So you're just doing all the work, picking up the slack. I can think of 1,000 reasons why that is an issue or where that issue stems from, whether that be poor processes or just bad employee management, but...
Or people pleasing.
Yeah, or people pleasing. But it's all pretty relevant. And then, yeah, you're pulling the late nights and getting only a couple of hours sleep and then waking up doing it all over again.
So what's the thing? Is it having a line where that's not my problem, it's all your problem, sort it? Like, none of my business, leave me alone, I'm not going to help you?
No, I think you need to set clear boundaries for yourself. I think that's probably the first one. Understanding what your role is. I mean, if you're a small business owner and you've got employees, you've employed them to do something. You've got an admin team to do the admin work. You shouldn't be doing the admin work. That's not your role.
Yeah.
If you've got a general manager, leave them to run the business. If you're there for growing the business, that's your role. If you're taking sales calls, pass that on to the sales team. It's setting boundaries and just defining what you're actually there to do.
Yeah. So, let's say with the admin team then, if we're taking over their roles, like how are we people pleasing?
Because they could be talking about how they've also got marketing and everything else that they're doing.
I'm too busy.
Yeah. I've got the social media post to do. I've got that lunch to make. I've got this to do. I've got these people to follow up. I've got invoices, blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, well, it does really need to get done. So
that's what you should say.
I'm the one that is going to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's how it becomes people pleasing.
Yeah. So it's not just you think like I'm a nice person, so I'm helping people out. It's also just not necessarily being willing to stand up or you can't be bothered having the discussion. So I'm just going to do what's easier.
And I think we're like sitting here and there's this negative tone being like, you silly sucker, like why are you the people pleaser? But they're invested. Like as a small business owner, you need to get that done. You feel
I wasn't calling anyone a silly sucker.
That's like the negative undertone, I guess, is just like.
Well, we're giving examples. Yeah. Like, you know,
there's nothing positive coming out of it. But it's just like, you're invested, you need to see this get done. And so you do seriously feel that pinch to get it sorted. And if they don't do it, then you're like, well, no one else is. I've got to sort it out. And I do sympathize with them in that sense because I would do that myself too.
Yeah, we want a good result, don't you?
Yeah. And it's your business, your money, your risk that you've put in there. But you've employed people for a reason. So I guess your role would be more making sure that they're accountable for their roles.
So I guess as a manager, we're not trying to, I think there's a book, The 1 Minute Manager, that I can't remember the exact details. And there's about 30 different versions. And I'll say like the one minute manager for high performance teams and high performing teams and the new 1 minute manager, which I bought someone the other day. And I was like, well, this is different to what I remember it being. but they talked about that your job as a manager is to be available for everyone when they need it and make sure that you're getting things out of their way rather than if you're busy doing everything, you have no time for managing. So if you're a good manager, you should be available and the discussion should be, well, how can we solve these problems that you've got? Not let me do that with you for you to help.
Don't let me do it for you.
Yeah. So I think that's an interesting thought. If you think about that, those scenarios from that perspective, then it's not going, oh, I help because I'm a good person or I help because I can't be bothered having the argument. But understanding your role as a manager in this case is to help them do their job. So like that's how you can help and be nice is okay, well, how can we solve these problems that you're having? You know, you've got to do social media posts. Well, okay, well, why has that become a scheduling issue? What's happened?
Yeah.
Oh, I had to do this. Okay, well, let's look at what are you doing overall? Do you want to come back to me with like how we can solve this problem rather than let's get it done?
Which might be just a tiny bit more work, but over the long term, it's not going to fall back on your plate because they're taking responsibility. So your work is then helping them solve that problem, which takes a little bit longer than just writing the social media posts maybe. But it's worth it over the long term. It means that you're not responsible for that. And instead of one post, you're writing 10, or you solve the problem and you never write one.
Yeah. And I suppose it takes a little bit of that. Oh, I need to have the conversation, even though I might not want to do it. Because I don't know, you might be afraid of the answer or you're busy or whatever. But you've got to look at, okay, well, they've got to do their job. I've got to enable them to do their job rather than enabling them to not do the job and then getting resentful about it.
Yeah. Yes. Which is embrace constructive conflict.
Yes. Constructive. That's a good term. Mm.
Yep. So whether that be with employee management or dealing with processes, just be able to have those hard conversations about why it's not working and
And they don't have to be hard, I guess. If you're used to having them and everyone's, you know, aware and everyone's working in each other's best interests, then it's not a battle.
No. But if you're not used to it, then
yeah, could be.
Time to start.
Yeah, but I think too, when people are not doing their roles or you're doing their roles for them, they're not happy either. Like they feel like they're letting everyone down and then it's this constant, oh, when am I going to get in trouble for this?
Yeah.
The dread, you know, they're dreading something, so that doesn't help them be productive either.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's like it goes back to confidence to some degree, assertiveness. Some of it's theory, like the management thing, understanding what your role is rather than thinking I need to be a good person or I don't have time. But knowing what's appropriate to stand up, not stand up for yourself, it's not a battle, but to say that's not my problem, that's your problem.
Yeah.
Because I think for a lot of people that's really hard. It's like, oh, we want to help, we want to be good people. But that's not my problem. Like you've caused that problem.
Yep.
Like you could have done something different. You can do something different right now. You're just choosing not to. So now I have to sort it. Mm-hmm. Like that's not fair to me. Yep. And it can sound really harsh, but I think it's really important, especially if you like doing things for people. You've got to go, well, if I do something for them, I don't expect something back. That's because then you're not upset that nothing happens in return.
Mm-hmm.
But in the same regards that, oh, I don't actually have to solve this problem. I'm not going to feel bad about it.
Yeah,
that's really bad for you, but you can change that. You don't need me to do it. You just can't be bothered.
Yeah.
Or you don't want to change, so leave me out of it. Like, that's fully appropriate.
Yeah, my head just went to, like, the very extreme point of that where it's just, like, if I have employees but I do it myself, why pay them? Like, why have them?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like,
people listen to that, they're like, I've had that thought yesterday.
Yeah, like why are they even there if you're doing the whole job?
Yeah, correct.
So, yeah, I mean, put in extremes, just think about that.
Yeah. So why am I paying them? Because I can do it myself. Well, sometimes there'll be reasons as far as, I'm looking to look for the future and we're trying to get them there, but you've got to actually make the steps to do that.
Mm.
But then if you continually don't do that, it is fine to say, well, yeah, it's not working out. I can't be bothered doing that anymore. I'll just do it myself and happy days. Mm-hmm. It is what it is, but you have more money for what it is.
Yep.
Rather than being something that it's not and having no money because of it.
You won't have employee problems. You'll just be burnt out.
Well, you know, maybe. Keep it a size that you can manage.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need employees to be successful. You can be successful by yourself. It's just, you know, what you're aiming for, I guess.
Yep. Yeah. So then we can talk about developing assertiveness.
Yeah.
Same sort of theme, I guess, in the sense that you're setting clear boundaries and having that constructive conflict. You need to say no, which you said before. You need to be able to show that that's not something that you're willing to do.
Well, you need to, yeah. Willing, need, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I guess what is assertiveness? So different people have different, you know, because we're either being nice to people or being harsh. That's how most people view things.
Mm. Yeah, I see it sort of hand in hand with boundaries. Like, this is a boundary. I will not cross it. And so you've got to be assertive with those boundaries, which is using the word in a definition. Don't love that.
Tell you a good English at school.
You're setting, you're strong in your opinion towards something.
Mm.
Or solid in your opinion.
Solid in opinion. I don't know. If you're strong in your opinion, you can be like overwhelming, which isn't really been assertive as like being pushy. But I think it's being strong, confident, like understanding that that is appropriate. You are allowed to say something. Mm. You don't get to talk over people, but you're allowed to say your opinion and they should listen to it.
Yeah.
And or saying, no, I don't want to do it, like you said. Mm. That's over my boundary. Without then coming back and going, oh, but it's not because of all these things. And you're going, oh, I suppose I see your point, you know. Yeah. Like, go, no, well, yes, you, I agree with all those things you've said, but I still don't want to do it. So that's fine. That's okay. You're allowed to do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And prioritizing tasks. I always love this one. I do it almost every day and it's just basically figuring out what you need to do. And
but how does that relate to people pleasing?
Well, if people are putting more on your list and it's not a high priority, if they're like, oh, I need to do this, oh, what would be a task?
Yeah, well, if people are putting things on your list, I guess if you're the boss, like that's your, first of all, you need to stop that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's, you can choose to do it, but you need to be aware that that's what you're doing.
Yeah. Yep. And if you're doing a budget as opposed to proofreading a report someone's written for you, which is, which holds more priority?
Yeah.
And if you're dropping that budget in order to proofread that report, then your priorities aren't right. Yeah. And your jobs are just going to get pushed down and down and down, even though they are vital to the business's success.
Yeah. So let's talk about a random scenario. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about when you're talking. Let's say you've got an employee that's fantastic and, you know, whatever, and they're like, oh, I want this and this and this and this, or, you know, I'm going to leave. So as the business owner, people pleasing, it's like, you know, what can we do? Can we do all these things that's going to suck or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the line of assertiveness then? Because that's a pretty common problem for most businesses, is like retaining staff, or, you know, there's always, oh, I'd like to go on holidays, I'd like to do this, or can we do this, or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, how do you balance that? Mm-hmm. Like, it's pretty uncertain, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My head just jumps straight back to this book that I've read over the weekend, Value-Based Fees by Alan Weiss.
Nothing to do with people,
not
good.
Oh, but the concept he talks about is that there's a quote, the effort I put in and the cost that I charge is compensation for the value I bring to you, and you're going to receive that same amount, basically. Yes. What you receive, I give to you, so I receive the same in return.
Or part of, yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of think of that in the business sense, like, okay, if you're going to stay, what is in it for me?
Yep.
Can we come to an agreement that works for both of us?
Yes.
So instead of just going, oh, well, kick you out the door, why is it not?
Or here's everything you want and now I'm upset because, you know.
How about an alternative where we talk about different ways that will meet your needs? What is it that you actually need from another job that we're not providing you, and how can we?
Yeah, or do we want to provide you? Yeah, spot on. I think it's like having that, the coming from the assertive angle, it's like, okay, well, you'd like all these things. That's nice. This is what we'd like. What's the negotiation from here? But I guess you don't have to give in because I think from an employee point of view and from a people-pleasing point of view, like there's always more people. There's always more opportunity. Like everyone's different. I get that. So everyone's unique and great. But the world will go on.
Yep.
And you'll have another scenario where it'll be mutually beneficial with someone else. So if you ever feel like, oh, I have to give into all these things just to, you know, make peace, like you probably don't. Like you'll be uncomfortable afterwards either way. But if it's past your limit or past your boundary and you give in, you're going to feel upset the whole time and that's not going to change. Whereas if you go the other way, you're going to be upset for a short period of time and then it will change.
Yep.
But spot on what you said too, like the assertive way is to go, okay, well, yes, you'd like all these things. This is what we would like. How can we make those work?
Yep.
Rather than just saying, oh, gee, if you left, I'd be in so much trouble. So I'll give you everything I want.
Yeah.
You want, you know. But there's not a long-term solution because that's going to happen again the next month and the next month. And at what point is the business getting looked after?
Yeah. Why are you so reliant on them staying?
Yeah. Correct. Yes. Which is a little bit different to the day-to-day example.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely a common one, I think.
It is definitely a common one. Yeah.
Having that, it goes back to confidence though, doesn't it?
Yes.
So it's like assertiveness.
Self-esteem.
And it's going, okay, well, I'm worth more than that. You know, we'll be right. It'll be fine. Yeah, we can solve it.
Yeah, protecting your interests.
Yeah. But the world always goes on.
Ooh, yes. Yes, there's always more employees too.
Yeah. Time solves everything.
There's more ways to do your business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another kind of example, I guess, that I could think of is if I had a marketing client and they wanted a marketing strategy, I promised within 3 months and I knew that everyone around me or working for me is overcommitted, but I'm like, yep, we'll get it done within 3 months because they're a high value client. I've just stressed out all my employees. I am the problem in that situation. I've just not really considered.
Well, you got to solve it then. You took it on. So stress yourself out or the employees, but it's no different having a machine. If you've got a machine that can make 100 widgets per hour and you decide to give a, say, a client, we can make you 200 widgets an hour, you don't get another machine. It's giving into, I guess, people pleasing. That's from a client perspective. We're agreeing to something we can't quite deliver just because we want to keep the peace or we want to get the job, and then we create a lot of issues for ourselves.
Yeah.
That's, I guess, the theory, whether we call it people pleasing or not, is being aware of that your actions cause you future issues.
Yeah, actions have consequences.
Yeah, that you have basically fully enabled.
Yeah, so I guess in trying to reduce the impact, like if you've been listening to this podcast, for example, and you're like, yeah, I'm definitely a people pleaser, I've done that 100 times, which I'm sure almost everyone has, maybe the first thing you would want to do is understand what your boundaries are. What can you actually provide?
Yeah.
That might be.
It's like you mentioned at the start, like what your role is, what you do and what you don't do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how much of that can you actually do? So, for example, with the actual client work, you know, you have 100 employees, don't promise anything over that. Understand what your constraints
are. What
are
you promising with that? But no, I think maybe reword that a little bit. But internally, what's your role and what's your people's roles? And then being able to stick to that's yours, that's mine.
Yeah.
And not necessarily blame the people, blame the system.
Yeah.
But then from a client perspective is having the right engagements. So that's not taking on a project you can't deliver. Or that's having terms and conditions that not only, you know, guarantee the client a good result, but also guarantee your business a good result.
Yep.
So it's not just like, oh, we need your work, we're desperate, blah, 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 blah. You know, no one's going out saying that. They're like, oh, I really want this job, I really want this job, to do all these things to get it. And then you get screwed over by something. They're not really screwing you over because they never agreed to it. They didn't expect it. There's all stuff in your head you expected from this job. It was going to be great. But just making sure that you have a good, clear expectations, not just for yourself, but other people you deal with.
Yeah.
And then having the assertiveness to stand up for your side.
Yeah. The thing that's in my head is just like get creative. Like don't think that it's all on you.
Yeah.
You have resources, use them.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to you've got employees who you pay. How can they help you?
Yeah. And if you're pleasing them all the time, you're not letting them help you.
Yeah. Let them help you.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I think it's the thing. You're welcome to do it. Just understand in hindsight.
The consequences.
Yeah. Like it's fine. It's a fine thing to do, but it's not fine when you don't realize you're doing it and you get upset about it and you don't know how to change it.
Yeah.
But it's fine to go, yes, I've done this and I did this to help them and it didn't work out or they're annoyed or whatever. And now I'm annoyed, but I know that was the outcome. It could have happened at the start. So it's, don't worry about it. I just won't do that in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you mentioned it just a little bit before when you talk about asking them how can they solve the problem. Like if you're a manager and you're asking that question of them, showing your leadership by challenging them to do better or solve the problem for you, which then helps them in turn grow. Yep.
And it's also drawing a line as far as you're trying to give me a problem.
Yep.
This is one of the 1 minute manager things. Good little book. If you get the oldest one, it's just so basic, so simple. It's big text. It's got like 100 pages.
Easy
it's a little book.
We love
it. It's not even an hour, but it's good.
Yeah.
But it's like if someone comes to you with a problem, you always make them leave with the problem. So like it talks about like the manager's desk. So they come into your office and they're like, here's a problem. And they leave your problem. And the manager's like, yeah, leave that with me and I'll sort it for you.
Yep.
But then you keep getting all this stuff.
That's a lot of problems.
So then what's the easiest thing for people to do is just to go give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you think like if you're working in a shop, oh, get the manager to solve that one for you. You know, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because the manager will sort it. But no, the manager should be like, oh, you can do that. Here's the policy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Leave me out of this.
Yeah.
But the easiest thing is they take it off them. And I think in that book, if my memory serves me correctly, it was like if someone comes to you with a problem, you not only leave them with it. So what would you do? Do you think that's a good idea? What's your plan to take it? Oh, that sounds great. Go do that. You give them one of yours as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you're actually teaching them that when they come to you with a problem, yes, you'll help them. But they can solve themselves most of the time,
mm-hmm.
but they're leaving with one of yours. So then it's highly likely before they come and see you that they're going to make a pretty good effort to solve the problem themselves.
So they're not left Friday anymore.
And like they don't, no one's ever realized that, oh yeah, you've come to me and I've given you one.
Yeah.
Like, but it's just it's completely flipping the whole, they're leaving problems with you and you get annoyed and then too busy
mm-hmm.
to they come in and they take their problem with them, plus they take one of yours.
like bait.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Flipping the script. Love that. Yep, that's a different way to do it. Yeah. I think people pleasing is easy to do, but I think it is actually quite an easy
Easy thing to
problem.
Not do.
Yeah, easy problem to solve.
Yeah. I think as well as a good discussion, just it's a very simple theory, but people don't generally think about it.
No.
And we discussed a few different ways that aren't necessarily people pleasing, but it's the exact same concept.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I think it just takes just like 5 minutes of your day and think about, I mean, for a week, just think about the ways that you have people done some people pleasing and write them down and think about how you could do that better for the next week. And it's just going to take just a little bit of thinking.
Yep.
You get so like caught up, and I know I have. Is you get so caught up in just getting the work done that you don't stop and think and go, what am I actually doing?
Yeah.
And, yeah, all it takes is 5 minutes to just think outside the box.
There's a lot of things people say like writing journals is a great idea. I'm not saying everyone should write a journal, but it's the
– I've started. It helps.
You've got the flight sorties. You know, pilots go out and they have a briefing before, mm-hmm. Which might take an hour and a half, and then they do the actual flight. And then they come back and they do a debriefing, which might take an hour, 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, why are they having 4 hours worth of briefings and debriefings when they're only flying, which everyone's just going, flying's their job.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that whole same thing as writing a journal at the end of the day, a bit of reflection, a bit of what happened, what was annoying, you know. But I think it's the main thing people pleasing is just to, when you're frustrated about something, look back and don't just blame, oh, this person did this to me, it's no fun, it's not fair, to go, well, what actions am I taking that I could do differently?
Yep.
And, yeah, exactly what you said. What could I do differently in the future?
Yep. Hmm. No, couldn't agree more.
Cool.
Well, team, I hope that is helpful. We'll leave this with you and some notes in the podcast notes at
Sweet.
The bottom. Episode notes. That's the word. very good. All right. Have a good rest of your week.
Bye.
Bye.